Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and as well more fervently.
So look forward to our corporate time of worship to honor Jesus and acknowledge that place that He has in the heavens. And as we worship Him, He comes down and reveals and manifests Himself to us. Have you got your Bibles with you this morning? If you could please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to be reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 10 onwards. And while you're turning with me in your Bibles there, I would like just to thank each and every person that set aside this last Wednesday to fast and to pray, to corporately come together. And we had a wonderful time worshiping, and we set our hearts aside to know the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at a deeper level. And the Lord really met with a number of folk, and we're trusting that we've started the year of leaning into the Trinity in a greater way. We're really believing to encounter God in fresh ways. But this morning's title of my message, firstly, I'd like to say, how's that for a picture? I saw that and I thought, wow, Lord, that's the Irish Highlands. And there's a beautiful road meandering through forests and hills and the sun in the distance, the hue of that color. But this morning, I'm wanting to talk about, but more importantly, remind you of who we are as a church and where we are heading. And it's so important for me to do that this morning because life is short and we have got no time to waste. To me, the enemy wants to send us on tangents and off this little beaten track or here and there, but God wants us to stay on course, to live with fixed intent and purpose. And this morning I'm wanting to remind you of those things. Isn't it weird how sometimes we remember the things we should forget, but forget the things we should remember? How quickly we forget truths. How quickly do we forget the goodness of God? How quickly do we forget God's intervention and miracles? I want to say to you this morning, we need to remind each other of them. Even the Apostle Paul had to remind Timothy, don't neglect that gift that God's placed in you and fan into flame that which was given to you through the laying on of hands. Paul had to remind Peter and the churches there of the truths that he had preached, that they could be firmly established in them. So this morning I'm going to be doing some memory jogging. And the Holy Spirit is the best memory jogger. Jesus said in John 14 that when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will remind you of all truth. So He wants to remind you, not just, oh, I know, but He wants to give you a nudge that you begin to live in it. This is one thing to know it, is another thing to live in it. And so this morning, I'm wanting to remind you of who we are as a church and where we are heading. But I'd like to read from verse 10 and 11 of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul writing this profound letter not only to the church in Ephesus, but to the church for all generations. He says, God, His intent was now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. A profoundly powerful scripture. And to me, the first thing I want to remind you of is who we are in Christ and our call as a church. Individually, Christ dwells within us, but when we corporately come together, there is a dynamic that you won't experience when you're on your own. There's a momentum of the Spirit of God when there's unity among the believers and the church comes together. There's a dynamic, there's two different dynamics, and we need to cherish both of them. Our private devotions, but then equally our corporate gatherings together. Where our faith is united, where we together cry out to God, and He comes in a visible, tangible way and meets with people. I want to remind you, our call is to reflect and emulate Christ in our community, in our city, in the nation, and the nations of the earth. We are being called to reflect Jesus. We haven't been called just to be good, nice, well-adjusted people. We're called to walk as Jesus walked. We're called to speak His words and to do as Jesus did. You might say scripture, it's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. We're called to demonstrate both the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. God wants us to have both evident in our lives. So I want to remind you that your call is to follow Jesus and to live Him out. I want to remind you that the church, because Christ dwells in the church, is the hope of the world. I want to say to you this morning, the world is grasping and groveling for answers and they don't have it. You look at all the nations in the world, they are reeling under various pressures and strains. They don't have answers. We have Jesus Christ, the answer to the sickness in human hearts called sin. And through faith in Him, you can be made new, that gives you a hope in this life and the life to come. I want to say to you, that hope needs to grip our hearts, that we become bold in declaring that. I want to say to you this morning, I want to remind you of our mission statement as a church. I want to remind you, Life Changers partners, that we are a people of influence in our community and beyond by using our God-given gifts, talents, and abilities together, making a difference. I want to remind you of that this morning, because so often we just walk along as if our life was just to sort of amble along. I want to say to you this morning, we must never amble in life. You can do now and again a bit of mall crawling, but don't crawl in your walk with the Lord. There needs to be intentionality in everything that we do. We need to become more purposeful and intentional. Now that particular verse of scripture that I read earlier on, God's intent was through the church, the manifold, multifaceted wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and principalities. Can I say to you this morning, the enemy has a plan for this community, but God has a greater plan. How is God going to outwork His great plan through you and I? He's going to outwork it through you and through me. Through Christ living in us, His plan is going to be outworked in this community, in this city, in the nation. You and I have been called by God to make a difference, not to live indifferently. Too many live indifferently with a fatalistic, passive, indifferent attitude of whatever. Can I say to you, stand on that attitude. And we need to say, no, we live to make a difference. We live to emulate Christ. We live for His purposes and His plans. God wants to demonstrate His wisdom through weak, fallible, fallen, broken humans like you and I. God wants to let the principalities and powers, the demonic, know that redeemed man can walk all over him. God wants to let the principalities and powers know that their ways don't lead to life, but God's ways do. Can I say to you this morning, God loves to use ordinary people for extraordinary things. I want to remind you of that this morning. Because so often we think we have to come to a place of certain levels of maturity or knowledge or having walked with God for so long before God can use you. Can I say the moment you say yes to Jesus, you're enlisted into the church and God wants to reveal His manifold wisdom through you to this community, to the city, etc. How amazing is that? I want to say to you this morning, it's one of the most amazing privileges in the early church. The early disciples astounded the religious who's who in Jerusalem with the power of Christ. That they looked at them and said, but they are ordinary people. They're just ordinary. How can ordinary do extraordinary? See, when God's Spirit invades your heart, that's what He specializes in. The Amplified version of that Acts chapter 4 verse 13 says that they were common men with no educational advantages. Those are the kind of people God loves to use. I saw such a beautiful article on the BBC webpage this week, and it read this like this. It said an amateur prospector in the Australian state of Victoria astonished experts by unearthing a gold nugget weighing 5.5 kilos. How cool is that? I went in my study, yes, I thought it was so cool. It was an amateur astounding experts. Doesn't it sound like the book of Acts? Amateurs astounding experts. 5.5 kilos of gold. Now you might say it was the state of Victoria. How big is that? It's 227,600 square kilometers. It's the size of the UK. And all he had was his earphones and that thing, metal detector kind of a thing. And he was going along just as an amateur. And then something started going beep, beep, beep. And he started digging and he got this huge chunk of gold. I love that kind of story. It gets the experts baffled and God going, I can do with ordinary people great things. Can I say, you and I as the church are not professionals. We're not experts, but we have the living Christ residing in us, and He wants that life to be displayed for all. By the way we live, the attitudes we have, the words we speak, the way we look, everything, we need to emulate Christ. Now, I'm periodically asked a question. The leaders in the church, how do you become an elder? How do you become a deacon? How do you become this? How do you become that? And often it's all about the title and it's about the position and what do you have to do, etc., etc., etc. And I love to respond to them and say, you know what? The greatest title you and I could ever have on this planet is not an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, deacon, or anything else other than being known as a son and a daughter of the living God. And I want to remind you of that this morning. Because you sometimes get apostles and prophets that have orphan spirits. And they're driven to prove something. And often they cause more damage than good. Can I say we need to begin to settle in our hearts. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And you, as the leaders of this church, in the book of Ephesians, earlier on, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 to 12, talks about the fourfold ministry being grace gifts to the church, to bring the church to maturity, to bring it to unity, and to help the church reflect Christ. And so often we're aspiring to that. And I just reflected on that and I thought to myself, no. We are grace gifts. But equally, each person whom God adds to Life Changes are gifts from Him to the eldership and leadership. And the leadership are gifts back to the people. Not one person is above another. I need you. You need me. You've got 5.5 kilos of gold on the inside of you. Somebody let that bing go off in your heart. You're not junk. You've got treasure on the inside of you. Our job is to unearth that and help you see it and then dispense it to other people. People say, well, Wally, what is your vision of Life Changes? You're the guy leading the team. What is the vision? I want to say, our vision is as big as the people whom God has given to us. And I'm going to explain that in a moment. The vision of Life Changes Church is ever increasing as we're growing as a church because God puts gifts in people, places them in churches, and our responsibility is to open doors for them to discover and be released into that. We all know that verse of Scripture, without a vision, people perish. Proverbs 29 verse 18, the Amplified version reads like this, where there is no redemptive revelation of God, people become careless, run wild, become reckless in living. I believe one of my primary responsibilities is to help you have a redemptive revelation of who God is. for you to have a high view of who God is. When your eyes and ears are open to the majesticness of who the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is, your heart will swell with faith that I cannot hold you back, and I'm just going to point in the right direction and say, run. That I love doing. We need to have a redemptive revelation that God takes broken, messed up lives and He's able to recycle them into trophies of grace. That's what redemption is all about. Him purchasing us, saving us, and us becoming disciples, being equipped and then sent into the world. It's as simple as that. So often we've got these huge, big, grandeur things. But then I'll explain to you in a moment how vision grows and gets bigger and bigger. Can I say, we need to be praying onwardly for a revelation. It's having our spiritual eyes and ears opened to what God is doing. The rest of the version continues. In the Message translation, it reads like this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Can I say to this morning, my heart aches when I see that. When you're walking with somebody, by accident you stand on their foot or they touch your ankle and you trip. There's so many, sadly, stumbling all over because they're not seeing what God is doing. But when they attend to what God reveals, they are most blessed. Can I say, let us give our attention to what God is revealing to us. Let's give our full attention to what God is revealing. Can I say to you this morning that I love it when people, God, as I said, places gifts and vision in people's hearts. And then when we walk together in relationship, they would come and begin to share with us some of those dreams, some of those visions. And we begin to sit down and dialogue together and we are beginning to sense, yes, this is the direction that God is leading us. Let's help you shape it. Let's help equip you. Let's find God's timing. Let's begin to get the thing all ready for God to release some breakthrough that it can go beyond where we could ever imagine. Let me give you an example. Last year, the year before, we ran that entrepreneurs sort of seminar. Yapi, Rion, number of them. It was just an idea. Remember, Yapi, have a coffee. I said, Yapi, I've got this idea. I submitted it to you. I can't do it. I'm not a business person. Submitted to Yapi. His heart started beating, getting excited. I said, Yapi, we had coffee. We could have, I don't know how many cappuccinos we had, but we were revved. And I said, we need to get a team together. And from there, developed and grew. And we've had, I don't know how many young people go through that entrepreneurial thing where we are skilling them and equipping them and helping them not only with natural principles, but some kingdom principles. What are we doing? We're changing the climate of this community. We're creating employment and helping people not become criminals. Helping people get dignity and respect by working. I'm just using that as an example. Pastor, in the last year, comes to me, he says, French guy, never met him before. He's a pastor in Maitland. He says he's got a French church, but he says so many of his congregation come from this area. How about starting a French-speaking church here? I say, whoa, I like that idea. Wherever we're reaching people, I'm happy with that. So what do? I don't announce and say, let's do it. What do? I start meeting with French-speaking people in a congregation. I start sharing. And they say, yes, my heart witnesses. I like excitement. And I say, let's keep soaking it in prayer. Let's keep praying. Let's find the right people. Let's find the right team. Let's find the right timing. And let's see what God does. You hear what I'm saying? So it's not just what is vision that I want to lay on you. I want to know what's in your hearts. You bring it to us. Write it down. Let's dialogue. Let's find the timing. Let's equip and let's see what God does. I remember Leanne. She came last year, year before. She said, Wally, I've got this vision for artists to be able to let the pictures that God has placed in them come out to the community, the city. She met together with the artists in the church, artists in the other churches in the area. They had meetings and painted, etc., etc. And then they wanted to have the art exhibition in the church. I said, no. I said, no. Because if we have it in the church, the unbelievers are not going to come. We've got to take the art out to where the world is. And they managed to source and have an art exhibition in the Castle of Good Hope. where hundreds and hundreds and possibly thousands of people saw magnificent pictures by Christian artists that depicted the glory of God. You see what I'm saying, church? I can't even draw stick men straight. But I've got gifted artists. What I did is we just dialogue together, find the heart, the mind of God, and we say, run with it. See, that's what collaborating vision together. Now, you might say, well, what is mine? I've got two things over here. A GPS that has been a wonderful gift. My wife gave me, because my bearings and directions are horrific. And this has been a wonderful gift. It has got me into trouble before, because I punched the wrong suburb. And remember one time Shirley was saying, Wally, she's not directing you to the right place. I said, no, love, I'm following her. And 45 minutes later, I had to repent, saying, love, you were right. So there's the GPS coordinates. Can I say God has got specific GPS coordinates for you? But can I say to you, before you find the specifics, you need to have the general direction. You need to have a general direction. How many of you know Gavin and Ange? They were part of our family, and God gave amazing profile and promotion to him. He is the head of the medical department of Ajax Football Club in Amsterdam. And we've been communicating. God's using him in a profound, wonderful way. Again, what is he doing? He's being a person of influence. What is his gifting in the medical field? Can I say he's in the medical field impacting all those soccer players? He gave me this compass. He says, Wally, I want to give you this as a gift. Because it was through your life I came to faith and grew in the faith and how God's led us and directed us. And this morning I want to share with you some compass bearings to help you towards finding your GPS coordinates. But you'll never find them until you start following the general direction. Now I'd like you to please turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, and I want to give you four C's of general compass bearing, giving you direction. Book of Hebrews. I had three C's, and then a fourth one I found just before I went to bed last night. You'll see what I mean in a moment. Let's read that together. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. It says, through Jesus, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. The first compass bearing I want to give to you is to learn to celebrate together with us. It says, therefore, through Jesus Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Can I say we need to learn to be a celebratory people, to celebrate on every occasion? That's something that I have to laugh whenever I see my youngest daughter, Laurel, or she's 23. She's in her last year of studying her degree, but she would put her heads down in the book, a particular subject, and she'd finish the subject. And she'd come out of her room, and after a couple of weeks of studying, she'd say, Dad, I'm off to celebrate. I said, love, but you haven't written the exam yet. And she says, no, I'm finished studying. So she would go off and celebrate, and then write the exam, then the next subject, all six of her subjects. There was always a celebration after the studying, a celebration after writing the exam, and then I celebrate when I see the records that she passed them all with all distinctions. She's very gifted. But she's got this whole thing of celebrating life. Every opportunity she has a party. Can I say the Old Testament Jewish culture, they had feasts during the year where they used to celebrate. New Testament, Jesus said, continually offer your sacrifice to and praise to God. Can I say we need to learn to celebrate who is seated on the throne? We need to celebrate Him on every occasion, the goodness of God. We need to make it a 24/7 continually celebrate. You know what that does? It deepens your intimacy with God, and then God can direct you into His specific coordinates. Learn to celebrate on a Monday, in the traffic, when a taxi cuts you off and your boss grumbles at you. Learn to celebrate. Can I say to you, to celebrate is a choice as well as being drawn into it. Because some of you might have not felt like worshiping God this morning, but Dean, as he started playing, you sensed, oh no, this is going to be cool. And you were drawn into worship. But most of you need to learn to make the choice to worship. And as you make the choice, God starts speaking and revealing Himself to you. The sad opposite to celebrate is to complain and criticize. And can I say to you this morning, put a sock in it. You might say, well, you look at the Bible, what God says about murmuring and complaining. The Bible says leanness will come to your soul. Now, I'm not saying we're not open to correction or criticism. We welcome it. But come with something constructive, alternative to help us. Because we haven't arrived. Do not forget to do good. We need to learn to be contributors in life, not consumers. There's too much of a consumer Christianity mentality. We need to say, Lord, how can I contribute? If you want to find your GPS coordinates, get on the compass direction of celebrating and contributing. We need to learn to be contributors. Life is not about getting, it's about giving. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good. We need to learn to connect. The Bible says, and to share with others. Can I say to you this morning, you're only as rich as your relationships. Can I say to you, Twitter and Facebook do not count as friends. I'm sorry to blow you out the water. Facebook friends are no substitute for face to face and heart to heart. Please forgive me, but that's the truth. Jesus Christ, before He gave His life at the cross, He shared His life with 12. Can I say to you this morning, in this family of Life Changes Church, who are you connecting with at a deeper level and sharing your life with? My heart aches with people that just slip in and slip out. They just come to get the word and go. Can I say to you, the word needs to become real, and then the word changes you, that you connect and you share and you hang and you just are enriched. My life is so enriched by people I'm privileged to call friends. But they know all about me. They know my weaknesses. They know my faults. They know my failings. They know me. Can I say to you, on Facebook, you always generally put your best foot forward. In friendships, you put your real foot forward. God wants us to learn to be real with one another. Can I say to you this morning, what's the depth and reality of your relationships? Are they just contacts in your phone? Or are they heart contacts and connections? If you have a crisis in your life, who would you phone? And would they respond? If you just wanted to chill, watch a movie with, or hang at somebody's place, who would that be? Or do you have to make an appointment? Who are you sharing the pages of your life with? Those are thoughts you need to reflect on. See, the sad danger, if you're not connecting, you get cut off. Just as we need to learn to celebrate and not complain and criticize, we need to contribute, not consume. We need to connect. Otherwise, we get cut off by our own choices. And the last C is that your life counts for the kingdom. I want to say, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. This last week, we had the funeral of Anton Yonka, a young man, 26 years old. But can I tell you what? Those are not pleasant kind of funerals. I don't enjoy them. But part of the funeral, there was the eulogy that his brother, was Leon, came up to give. And I just, at that time, I just said, if there's anybody else that would like to share something about his life as we celebrate his brief life, I would like you to come up. I was blown away that there must have been seven people that came and said, this is what Anton did and said and how he lived that impacted my life. There were over 150 of his work colleagues here. What it did, he made his life count for the kingdom. There was one guy that got up, he says, I'm a believer today because Anton was a briar of note. And when he briared, he came and invited me over. And over the briars, we engaged and chatted and talked, came to faith, him and his family are serving God. Tell you what, briars are godly things. The priest did in the Old Testament, we can do it today, but use it to connect. If you're just briaring your little voice by yourself, shame. Invite somebody. Invite somebody. Connect. Make the circle bigger. I want to provoke and stir your hearts to get in God's direction of celebrating, contributing, connecting, that your life can count for the King.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website, www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.